Welcome, test subjects, to the Stick Twiddlers podcast. We hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to this, the Stick Twiddlers podcast, episode 27. And I'm your host, Al, and I'm joined today by Jamie. Some say only he knows the true meaning of Christmas, a secret passed down to him as a member of the Christmas Keepers. He is sworn to protect it at all costs until such time as his firstborn succeeds him. This can only happen during the Christmasing, when son must kill father in a duel to the death, McClellan.
Oh, ho, oh, fucking ho. Oh.
And Ian, if you're having style problems, I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 cardigans and glasses for the sun, Livingston.
I only own 2 cardigans.
I don't believe that.
That's more cardigans than any man should ever own.
As you can hear, Sarah's back.
Hey, just about. I might die in the process of recording this podcast.
So we have to ask. We've got to get the pressing question asked that we were discussing on last week's podcast. Just how many times did you go on It's a Small World After All?
Oh, my boyfriend made me go on it once, and there's a picture of me putting the grumpiest face in the world with, like, all the puppets behind me. It's amazing. I just haven't had a high enough functioning brain capacity to upload my pictures yet, so.
So when you say your boyfriend made you go on it once, and then it was after that that you decided to go on it again and again?
And well, we would have, but I had to get a good place for the parade and subsequently cry.
You cried?
I got a little bit emotional.
What?
That's what. Because I've been wanting to go to Disney since I was 5 years old. It was a kind of a big deal. I got a little bit emotional when you go through the gates and you see the castle at the end of Main Street. I got a little bit emotional then. I got a little bit emotional at the parade, and I got a little bit emotional when it was time to leave.
Oh man, I wish I'd have seen that. The most metal lady you could ever imagine, covered in tattoos, looking like she's just got back from defeating some Viking invasion, stood crying and pointing at a Disney princess going, oh, I want to be a princess. Oh.
You didn't see me last night. I finished reading The Fault in Our Stars, and to the point, like, horrible, like, entire, like, just the worst full body sobs, like tears streaming down my face, and it's like, well, I gotta get ready for bed now, so I'm like faffing around my hotel room trying to sort myself out for bed, just crying the whole time.
I'm
kind of worried how I'm meant to get through the film now. I kind of really want to go and see the film tomorrow, and I think that might be a bad idea to go and watch that in public.
See, I have absolutely no idea what that book's about.
I can give you a synopsis right now.
What I've worked out is that
cancer and then meet someone.
Yeah, she's a teenage girl. I think she's 17 and she's got terminal cancer, and it's all about the boy that she meets. But it's genuinely really lovely, and it's really, really beautifully written. It's not like shite Twilight crap. John Green's an absolutely fantastic author. So read it if you feel like crying a lot.
I cried when Spock died at the end of Wrath of Khan.
I did.
I don't think I'm going to be able to read that.
I know that feel.
I mean, I like to read, but does anything explode in it?
No.
Do any presidents get kidnapped?
No.
Is there any terrorist plots?
No.
So,
don't think you'd like it.
So it's not comparable to a Clancy book, then.
No,
I was about
right.
to ask.
But it is written by the author who's written on the front of the book.
Oh,
who went?
Did we just lose Sarah?
Yep. I think we did. It's on the front of the book, and then she imploded. There we go.
Oh, I think I got disconnected.
You did, and
you did.
I think your internet dropped a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
Never mind.
Oh, it's so, coming back now.
It's fine.
So, Alan, you prefer books that are more less story and more technical manual for the M16?
Basically, yeah.
You should read a book I read growing up. It was called something. It was literally called something like John's Bastards, and it was amazing. I found it in a bookshop, and funnily enough, and picked it up. It was like 25p, and looked at it and thought, oh yeah, I'll give this a read. I've got nothing else on at the minute. And there was a section of it where the guy storms into this camp, and there's about 50 armed-to-the-teeth terrorists and him. And the next 20 pages detailed, in exacting detail, how he reloaded his weapon and killed them all. It was basically listing the bullets by name.
That sounds like my company. Before we get onto video games, because this is a video game podcast. Well, do you know what? If you'd listened to the last 10 episodes, you probably wouldn't think so.
I was surprised that I didn't have to describe what a book was.
I'm surprised by how much stock Alan puts in explosions in his books. Like, how does an explosion come across in print?
Boom! Generally. but yeah, my favourite book of all time, and if no one's read it, I implore you to read it because it's absolutely fantastic, is a book called The Forever War. It's really old. It's like I want to say 73, 74, that kind of time.
I like how in the whole 1,000-year history of literature, something written in the 1970s is really old.
well, it's relatively old. It's older than me, so therefore it's old. But it's an amazing book. At its core, it's a science fiction film about humans fighting, like, you know, another race, whatever. But the interesting twist on it is that the fight takes place like 300 thousand light years away or whatever. So when they're sending troops from Earth to fight this war, they have to go in like stasis, so they're asleep. So, and then they do their tour of duty of like 6 months. Then they go back to sleep and come back. So every time they come back to Earth, like, you know, 2,000-3,000 years has passed. And the story is less about the war and more about how the soldiers adapt to, like, you know, an Earth that changes every 6 months for them. So like one time they'll come back and, you know, all ginger people have been like put into concentration camps or something like that. Like,
it would happen one day. Fuckers.
Well, there's a really good bit in it where they go away and they're fighting the war, but they come back and Earth's population's got spiraling like out of control. So they've made heterosexual relationships is outlawed. Like, you're not allowed to have a relationship with someone of the opposite sex to try and cut the population down. So homosexuality is pretty much the only way to go.
I can get behind that.
But it's really cool to see how they're like, and because they're not used to that, they are in heterosexual relationships, so they're viewed as the weird ones. So like how some people might view homosexuality incorrectly, I must add, these days it's sort of flipped on its head. It's really, really good.
That does actually sound surprisingly not shit.
It's really, really good.
High praise.
Surprisingly not shit, Sarah.
Shit, Alan, no.
Well, considering you just name checked Tom Clancy.
Yeah, it's true. I was expecting you to name a Tom Clancy novel after you said that. I was cringing silently.
But yeah, it's really good. It's just like, you know, over they experience the evolution of humankind over sort of, you know, 5,000 years in the space of, to them, about 2 years. It's really, really good. So yeah, and that's by a guy called Joe Hadleman. So yeah, check it out if you can. But yeah, anyway, onto what's been happening. Oh, before I said, what have we been playing today? This week, Sarah, I'm guessing you've just been playing nothing because you've.
Yeah, I've been sat in a dusty field in the middle of France, so I've been playing the game. Try to avoid the sun so I don't burst into flames like like a vampire in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Or maybe you'd sparkle, like Twilight.
No.
Ian, what have you been rocking this week?
I have bought an absolute shite ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This week. And
fucking
I've played
Steam sale, man.
5 minutes of everything that I bought.
I haven't played anything I've brought.
I had a shot of Blood Dragon, which I'm kind of enjoying and kind of hate myself a little bit for enjoying.
You just feel dirty playing it.
Yeah, because like I get the whole thing that they were going for. It's just like, yeah, it's really cool and referential, and look how 80s as fuck this is. And it's a bit tiring after a while.
Uh-huh. Like too much sort of thing. Like
so much like less parody and more just relies on all the things that it's trying to make fun of in order to further the game. And yeah, just
is it a bit like those annoying kids sometimes you'll sit on in the bus or walk by in the street and they literally just talk in memes?
Yes,
you'll sit on in the bus.
Yeah, I don't sit on children. But
Alan, have you been sitting on children on the bus?
Look, legally, no.
Right.
But it's a bit like that. I mean, they're just sort of, you're just like, okay, we get it. We know what you're trying to do.
It's really, really in your face, purposefully so, but I think a little bit just too much for me. Which is, I like all that kind of stuff. I like crap 80s shit. Because let's be honest, most of the stuff that came out in the 80s that we all like get nostalgic about is fucking terrible.
The Beastmaster.
Exactly.
Good Coach Time.
Something really shit. I don't know. I'm not enjoying it so far. I'm enjoying Far Cry 3 a lot more. It's the first time I've played it.
So how much do you reckon you've spent in the Steam sale?
I was working this out earlier, about £35, which is not that much.
That's quite good.
I've got something like 15 games out of it. Like, not counting all like individual bits of DLC as actual games, but in terms of games, I think I've got somewhere between about 10 and 15. So
yeah, I'm probably around 40, 50. And it would be more. It would be more, but a lot of the games that I would buy, I've already got. So that's why it's not been too bad for me. I've brought a lot of DLC, though.
Now, the only DLC I picked up was for Civ, which was an adventure in itself, trying to work out which bit to buy.
Yeah, well, I already had Civ 5, and I needed some of the DLC, but it was cheaper to buy just the collection again.
I had to get my calculator out and go through the collection and figure out all the bits that I needed, then add it all together, and then figure out if it was cheaper just to buy the individual bits or the pack.
Jamie, what have you been playing? Super Meat Boy?
Yes.
FTL?
Yes.
Yes.
Basically, the Steam sale rolled around, and you pointed out two or three games that would make me want to rip my own face off in despair. And I bought them like the twat that I am, and I've been playing them like the absolute twat that I apparently have turned out to be.
You've done all right, the Steam sale. You've had people buying your stuff. You've done all right, mate.
I have. I've even picked up a couple of freebies off randomers. I don't know why. It seems to be the way I roll.
I had to buy FTL because I knew you'd like that game.
Yeah, it is awesome. Same with Super Meat Boy. I love it. It's a brilliant game, but by Christ, it's frustrating. And yeah, FTL, I mean, I haven't beaten it yet.
No, neither have I, mate.
So that's no real shocker, but I've picked up a few others. I tried out Blackwell Legacy. I picked that up quite cheap. By quite cheap, I think it was something like 60p. And I haven't played a decent point and click for quite a while, so I sat down and tried that out. That's interesting. The voice acting is... but apart from that, it's interesting.
It's 60p of worth of voice acting.
Yeah, I can't knock it too much for the price. So, I've been playing a lot of different stuff interspersed with bouts of Halo, funnily enough.
Yeah, it is a shocker.
Well, I'm still working on this damn... Because obviously I've got the series has launched now, the Halo Wars series. I'm trying to max every Halo title before the Master Chief Collection's released.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a
good
dip.
Look. Yeah, you can check that article out on stitchfillers.com. Every week it will be updated. Thank you.
On
Sunday. Please turn ad block off. Because we want your money.
All of it.
All of it.
So, yeah. So I've been playing everything.
Well, I've been playing Hearthstone because Hearthstone, and I've been playing WildStar because WildStar, and I've been going through my pile of shame. So I've been playing. I finished Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which was, and I've just started playing Splinter Cell Blacklist, which is okay. It's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. Yeah, Hearthstone and WildStar, obviously, is kind of my thing at the moment. Absolutely loving WildStar. The first proper like major review came out this week. Actually, today, I think. I'll double check the score on the door. Because I think it did all right. It didn't do bad at all.
I hope it did all right, because it's really good.
Yeah, it is. I remember reading the review and it got 8.7.
That's not bad.
Which is pretty good. Yeah. overall, they said they gave it loads and loads of like pluses. I think one of the main major like negatives they said was that it's quite buggy in some places, which is kind of to be expected because it's, you know, it's a new MMO. But yeah, so that got 8.7. Reviews will start to come out now. And yeah, it's just great. Just get it. Just get WildStar because WildStar. But yeah, so anyway, that's what we've been playing. So in the news, gaming's a legitimate sport now, guys. Did you know that?
No. Are we allowed to bite people now?
Well, this is the talk that's going around now. Is obviously we've got the esports movement that's been gaining ground over the past sort of 4 or 5 years. But it's primarily been, even though it's, you know, esports stuff like, it's primarily been seen as not a real sport by those outside. Well, not a real sport in terms of you know, coverage, if you like. It's generally enough. Something that gamers take notice of. However, in the past 2 weeks, two things have happened which has made, shall we say, mainstream media sort of sit up and take notice and actually start speaking about it.
Right.
So the first thing, obviously, was the LCS.
Yes, event which we're missing right now. On.
Which sold out Wembley Stadium, which is huge. That's a huge thing. People are taking notice now. They're saying, wait a minute. What's going off at Wembley? Oh, it's a video game thing. What?
Yep.
There's, you know, you don't sort of hear that, or you haven't really heard of that kind of stuff in the mainstream media until now. So that was a good you know, it was a good starting point for switching it over to mainstream. What's happened now is that we've got like BBC News of that starting to reporting on the Dota 2 International. Now, the reason that people are taking notice of the Dota 2 International is that at the moment, currently, the prize pool has broken $10 million.
Fuck.
Which is ridiculous. Now, it's
a community-funded prize pool as well, is it not?
Yeah, so the way the prize pool works is that Valve put a little bit in. Valve have put like $1.5 million in, just so that there is a prize pool.
Just a splash in the ocean. Yeah.
And the rest of it is funded by sales of something called the Compendium, which basically every year when there's the international tournament, players can buy something called the Compendium. And by having that Compendium, it gives you access to other things while the tournament's on. So you can watch the live stream of it, like the official live stream of it, things like that. You get in-game items. You get increased experience while the tournament's running, stuff like that. So it's a nice little thing. That's, I think it's like $10 to buy the Compendium.
Yeah.
Now, it's expected to rise even more because there's still a month to go. So it doesn't take place until like sort of the back end of July. So at the moment, there's a prize pool of $10 million.
That's obscene.
Yeah, it is. Compared to last year's, which was $2.8 million.
Fuck a duck.
Well, all the viewership for most of the major tournaments and stuff have all been up and up and up in the last couple of years as well. Like, ridiculously high.
Mm-hmm.
BeamHack has gotten more viewers each one they've done summer, winter, summer.
Yeah. Now, there's some interesting points to take from this, is that if it is split, if the prize pool is split the same as it was last year in terms of the win, like what the winners get, the people who win will be instant millionaires. The way that it's split. Also, another comparison is that Wimbledon, the prize pool for Wimbledon in terms of pounds, like UK pounds, real money, in other words, was £10 million. At the moment, if you convert the money, the Dota prize pool is just about to break £7 million. So it's nearly as big a prize pool as Wimbledon.
See, fuck tennis.
That's massive for a video game.
That is. Jesus Christ.
Considering as well, Dota isn't even the most popular MOBA game, by far.
Yep.
Like, League of Legends far exceeds that. I think Dota's like 8 million players, something like that.
Didn't the League of Legends final sell out the Staples Center in the US?
It's bigger than Wembley, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot bigger.
Yeah.
So I just wondered with all you know these tournaments, just like crazy money for prizes, you know, like hundreds of thousand people like watching it and stuff like that. Like, do you think we're ever going to get to a stage where it is covered like a mainstream sport that we have now?
Yeah, eventually.
I don't know if you can, to be honest. I don't think it needs it either. Well, it's like all of these things, like all the big major esports things, with the exception of like Counter-Strike, which is relatively short game-wise. Like all the games and everything, when you get through a tournament and days worth of games, is ridiculous amounts of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Like for it to be on a TV channel, it'd literally have to be the only thing on for the entire day. Like sometimes 2 or 3 days if it's like a LAN tournament that runs over a weekend or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like internet coverage lends itself better to that because if there's multiple games going on, you can have multiple streams. And I think that works better than doing that on telly.
It's true.
You can do your whole red button bollocks, but it's...
We have to think of the almighty dollar, though. I mean, the reason that stuff like, you know, the World Cup, Wimbledon, the Olympics, or like the reason they are broadcast on TV is because people are going to watch it, so it's going to increase advertising revenue for the channel that's showing it. Do you not think that the TV channels are taking notice and think, oh, I'd quite like a slice of that pie, and then start bidding to actually, say, cover the finals or whatever? And do you think that you know, Riot or Valve are going to turn that money down if they say, okay, we want to pay you like $3 million?
Well, already happened. In Sweden, at least, LCS is getting shown on a Swedish TV channel. I saw a news thing about it the other day.
Oh, really? I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Sweden's a different story entirely because they are already, like, decades ahead. They are mad for esports, like most of Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Totally mad for esports, Sweden in particular. But, LCS matches are getting cast in Swedish as well. So they're getting local people to cast the games. It's not the same people who cast the main LCS show because that's cast in English.
I think it's going to happen soon, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, it regularly brings in, like, ludicrous amounts of people. Like, I mean, LCS is on right now. I will tell you how many people are watching it just on Twitch. Because it gets shown on Twitch and YouTube, and the T key on my keyboard doesn't work, which makes it really hard to get to Twitch.
Well, while you look for Twitch, Sarah, what do you reckon? You're good at sort of this kind of stuff.
Am I?
Well, like, analytical stuff.
Am I?
You do it for a job, so I would hope so.
No, I don't do the analytics side of things. Okay. That involves far too many numbers. of course we're going to see it on TV. Of course, it'll start with the massive finals, and then it'll be like the finals and the semi-finals, and then it'll be like the finals, the semi-finals, and the highlights of all the other matches. First, it'll be on like specialized TV channels, and yeah, I mean, bearing in mind that like. Look how, I mean, how long has esports been a sport for? The past?
It's like a viable sport.
Well, 15 years, 20 years tops, maybe?
I'm going to say probably 10.
Yeah, whenever like Counter-Strike started, I guess.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike and StarCraft.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's literally no time at all.
No.
So, yeah, of course it will. I'd say in the next sort of few years. And yeah, like I said, it'll be on specialist channels first with a little bit of coverage, but I reckon it will take off quite quickly.
You heard it here first. The Oracle has spoken.
I'm not sure how long it's going to be. I don't think it's going to ever... I can't personally...
Think?
Yeah, I can't think right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we started seeing, even on like a... On like a specialist channel, like a Sky channel or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if we started seeing matches within the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever see it being, you know, it'd probably be about 20 or 30 years before it ever gets to like, say, like World Cup sort of levels and we see it on like BBC One or anything like that. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we started seeing matches in the next couple of years on TV, even if it is cable.
It'll happen. Like Sarah said, it'll start with specialist channels. I mean, to be fair, it wouldn't shock me to see a channel actually pop up purely for things like that before long. Given the... I was flicking through the channels the other day. There's a channel just for wine, so it wouldn't... It would not
shock me. Is there really?
On Sky, there is a wine channel. which, FYI, and please drink responsibly, but it makes a brilliant drinking game. If you take a drink every time they drink, you'll be dead by lunchtime. Great fun. So, did it once, don't remember much of what happened afterwards. But, no, it'll start to pop up on TV. I mean, a semi-comparable model is poker. Because I'm quite a fan of poker, and I've played it for years online and live. And poker started to pop up on Sky on some channel, and then Channel 4 very, very late at night, and then it got a little bit earlier, and it started to pick up coverage, because the tournaments, which were always big in the States, started to get a lot more interest over here, and there were tournaments popping up over here, which you could win a place in the tournaments in the States and that. And it's become a much more sort of a much more recognized, well, not sport, but game, for the lack of a better word. So yeah, I don't think it'll be that long before you start to see it popping up.
Makes sense.
But I would not be shocked at all to see a channel pop up purely for things like that. If there isn't one already, because there's 500 channels of absolute dross knocking about on Sky, and I haven't been bothered to check all of them.
Oh man, wouldn't it be great, like, watching the COD, like a COD tournament or something? Just, hey, you fucking noob!
I just wouldn't hear it.
Gary Lineker. I think he's going to get a yellow card for saying he slept with his mother. And there we go.
Does anyone remember the last time they tried to merge esports on television? Like, this has happened already.
Has it?
Yeah, the CGS, the Championship Gaming Series. I think it was run in part by. I think Violet ESL Berlin. Were involved in some form. But,
was Violet Berlin on?
It didn't have Violet Berlin on it, as far as I can remember, which is possibly why it failed, because she probably could have carried that. But no, it was video games. It was Counter-Strike. There was a beat-em-up in there, which I think was Dead or Alive. It was FIFA or Pro Ev and a racing game. And people competed in teams, and they had like city teams from across the world that had like franchises and stuff, and they had really terrible, terrible names.
Really?
Yeah. Do you not like? And it was on Sky, I think, when they started showing it. But the problem was that they attempted to, in my opinion, the problem was that they attempted to pander because it was on TV for the first time. So they were like opening it to this huge audience that had no idea
this
how any
of
these
games worked.
This is
a video game.
So they had to explain the mechanics of every single game, and anybody who actually wanted to watch it, who was into the game and in the esports scene, is already a fairly hardcore player. So they know how the fucking game works. They're wanting to watch, and it was just so incredibly dull, and they had to handhold all the way through with commentating, and it had Chris Camaro on it.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That sounds terrible. I don't think how far back are we going?
Few years. I'm looking it up as we speak. The answer to the earlier question, which I tried to answer before I died, my T key decided to just press its button by itself, was there's 57,000 people watching League of Legends right now.
Jesus.
And this is just a run of the mill. This is just it's just a run of the mill random night of games. It's not anything special, like it's a league game night for Europe ones. I think the actual the main LCS games are finished. So this isn't even the Premier League of people. This is the people in the Challenger League, which is the one below that. And there's 57 people watching that. 57,000. Not 57.
Does this not raise a concern, though? Do we not have to stop liking video games now? Because it's not cool anymore. Because if all the plebs start watching, then we're not allowed, surely.
I suppose.
I mean, we're supposed to be the fucking elite here, people. It's terrible times.
So, I've got some of the names of these teams here.
Go on.
So, we got North American region, region one. We had the Chicago Chimera. They're so triple X, but it's unbelievable. The Carolina Core, the Dallas Venom.
Oh, God, the Dallas Venom.
Complexity sold their franchise for their organization to the CGS for it because they became the Los Angeles Complexity. I think they bought it back afterwards. Like, Complexity still exists as a gaming organization. They've got a team in the North American LCS that play League of Legends. And New York 3D and San Francisco Optics, which were both old gaming organizations that got bought over and then driven into the ground for the most part, I think.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Terrible names. Like the Birmingham Salvo, I think that was my favourite.
Birmingham Salvo.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Fuck me.
But, they tried so hard, but it was just terrible. Like, the production value on a modern, like, online broadcast, like you watch in the LCS, is of a really, really high standard. And it's leagues above what this was. It was dire. It was just a mismatch of people not knowing what they needed to do. Like, they lost their core audience by trying to pander too much to a general audience and probably still confused the fuck out of the general audience anyway.
That I think that's the problem. But, I mean, things have moved on so much now. Like, you've got commentators now who are actually entertaining in their own right. And, you know, you can... Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with League of Legends or Street Fighter 4 or whatever, but sometimes I like to watch them purely for the commentary. But the commentators sort of make the game.
Yeah, the personalities are part of it as well. Like, I mean, that works like that for football, though, because the commentator that's on, if you're watching a game of football or any sport, if the commentator's rubbish, then it ruins it for you because you don't have the experience again to see it live. And I guess with video games, it's still a different experience because even if you are there when it's happening, you're not watching people move. You're just watching their faces or a screen with, like, their head just over the top. You can't see them moving or anything like that.
It's a fair point, because if you're watching the football on BBC One over the World Cup, it wasn't so bad. But if you were watching on ITV, you had to put up with Adrian Childs.
Oh, and... the troll of a man. Did he climb out under his bridge to do the World Cup?
It was horrible.
Sarah just suddenly burst.
He is, though. He looks like he's permanently very slightly melting. I don't like it. It's like being talked at by a bollock. It's not fun.
Well, I mean, the day Adrian Childs starts presenting anything to do with esports is the day I buy that noose, I think.
Well, I mean, especially with, like, commentators, is I do think that even if you're into games, like with football, let's face it, football's fairly simple rules-wise. It can get very, very, very deep, but football's very easy for someone who's never watched it before to get into it and to watch it and figure out what's going on. Whereas with esports, you don't have that. Even I, like, will watch, like, I mean, I know, like, League of Legends a lot more, but with, like, StarCraft, I'm not hugely up on whether, like, a player's doing particularly well or anything like that, unless it's really, really obvious. But I'll still quite, if the commentator's good, I'll still really happily sit and watch a StarCraft 2 match.
Got a much higher barrier to entry for people because it's way less. Yeah, it's way more complicated than kickball and net.
Kickball and net.
StarCraft completely eludes me. I have no idea how it works in any way, shape, or form.
See, that would prove one issue if it was to come to a wider audience and go to TV, because the commentators that they have now for esports obviously know the games that they're commentating, and if it did come to TV and it got big enough, would you not be worried that they would try and have some absolute douchebag celeb try and commentate it to make it a little bit more, you know, the friendly face of, and then you'd end up with complete bullshit instead of anything coherent?
Well, don't they kind of do that for American football? Don't you have kind of, you'll normally have like a couple of presenters, one who's very charismatic but might not have all the knowledge, and then you'll have someone who knows the tactics and the players and the statistics in, like, way more detail.
The colour commentary.
Play-by-play and a colour commentator, play-by-play, who's the guy that's basically just describing what's going on, and the colour commentator tends to be, like, an ex-pro or something like that that explains why somebody's doing something.
Yeah. So, I definitely see, like, that sort of thing happening with it. And then as well, like, same with how, you know, like, football shown on TV, you'll then have, like, the highlights before and after the match, and that'll be your much more sort of, like, celebrity faces, I think.
It needs JR and Jerry the King Lawler. That's what... Everything should be commentated by JR and Jerry the King Lawler.
By God!
I think you're right, though. I think it'll take a simpler game than the ones that are popular right now to break mass market. I think, though, everything that's out at the moment, the one that's got the best chance of doing it is probably Counter-Strike, because I think that's, even though it's a team game, it's got a really, really deep strategy to it, but at the end of it, it's five people shoot each other and who wins.
Everyone knows.
I think it's the simplest, even if you don't really understand the deeper mechanics of the game, it's easier to follow because whoever's got more people alive is winning. I think that's got potential, because that's been raising, and the Counter-Strike in particular has been going up in extraordinary numbers because they're doing that same kind of crowdfunded thing that Dota's doing for their prize tournaments as well, with their, like, Hats for Guns initiative.
Hats for Guns? What?
You get gun skins in Counter-Strike. Like Counter-Strike Go was doing okay as a platform. It was they had a decent amount of...
They
released customizable skins for guns, i.e. hats for guns.
The way you said hats for guns, I thought it was like, you know, like some kind of amnesty on guns. Like, if you drop your gun in at this box, we'll give you a hat.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite like that. I don't think that would really, really work all that well with Counter-Strike players, because they kind of like shooting each other.
Yes, but they also like hats, so, you know, you never know.
Yeah, but that's that. Like, they used during EMS, I think it was, or one of the tournaments, possibly DreamHack. They did crowdfunded prize money into the tournament by doing stickers that had the team logo on them.
All right, okay.
And you could purchase them and put them on your AK or your M4 or your pistol or whatever. And they gave a portion of that to each team and funded each team directly rather than putting it into the prize pot.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
From that also went into the prize pot as well. So there's loads of things you can do with it. If you can build an audience around it and they're willing to put money in, like, and pay your prize pot for you, then you're kind of golden.
Job done. As we've just sorted out there, it will be on TV soon. Look out in your local listings. We've said it will be, so it's bound to be. In other news, I'm fucking pissed off because the re-release of games is getting stupid now. So, as you know, well, as you're probably aware, I'm sure you're aware, especially if you brought a PS4 or an Xbox One, you're bound to be aware. All you're going to be able to play, it would seem, for the next year or so is last year's games, or the last couple of years' games, remastered, in quotation marks. Now, as we exclusively revealed a few weeks ago, with The Last of Us, is being remastered for the PS4. And there's a day one edition of it, which, to me, is fucking bullshit. Why?
The day one edition.
Well, why is there a date right? So, let's just break this down, okay? There is a day one edition of a remastered version of a high-definition game which was released originally just a year ago.
And it looks no fucking different.
That's
At least the difference in GTA 5 is quite stunning.
Mm-hmm. It makes no fucking sense to me. And it's £35.
Day one of what?
Day one of the game.
Yeah, but why? Surely any game when it comes out is its fucking day one edition.
You can only get the day one edition if you pre-order it.
Well, what do you fucking do?
You can only get the day one edition if you pre-order it on a day before day one.
Yes, I realise.
We can't buy the day one edition on fucking day one.
No.
Are they actually trying...
Before day one edition.
They are actually trying to break time. That game will be released, a portal will open, out will pop fucking Joseph Stalin with three heads and end the world with his laser vision. I'm calling it now.
Because from someone who worked in games retail for so long, what will happen is the day one editions will go out to stores, they'll cover their pre-orders, and then there'll also be like tons left over. So it will be a day 1 through 14 edition.
Yeah. 114 edition.
Which you'll be able to get pre-owned from day 15 onwards.
But then it might not come with the DLC because someone might have used the code.
Aye, true.
But the thing is, they're going to keep doing this because people are buying into it. I mean, like the Last of Us remastered day one edition. It's basically in running in 1080p as opposed to 720p, which I believe the original one was running. It has higher resolution character models, better shadows and lighting, better textures, and also includes all of the DLC, which I believe there was one single-player DLC, and the rest of it's multiplayer DLC, like extra maps and stuff. And that's what the remastered edition is.
That game's got multiplayer?
Apparently, yeah. I mean,
who knew?
Yeah, I know, right? So that's the remastered edition. The day one edition comes with a exclusive multiplayer. I'll double check this, but I'm pretty sure.
In the day one edition contains increased crafting speed, increased healing speed, 9mm reload speed upgrade, rifle clip capacity upgrade, 2 skins for Joel and Ellie, and bonus XP for multiplayer. So, like, at least that's all stuff which is incredibly easy for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Putting that together took someone probably like a day.
it sounds like what you would get for cheat codes.
Yeah, basically. It's just a way for them to try and get people to buy it. That's all.
Cheats and hats.
Yeah, cheats and hats. The latest ones that are rumored, and you know, I stress that these are unconfirmed, These are just heavily rumoured, but they're rumoured by the same people and sources that, have sort of leaked everything else, is Mass Effect, the trilogy for Xbox and PS4. I mean, why? Like, I mean, I just don't get it. And the other one is Sleeping Dogs. Again, a HD remaster of Sleeping Dogs for like these consoles. I mean, these are games that, you know, they were good and stuff, but hasn't everyone played them though?
I don't know. Like Mass Effect, I can see that happening because people like playing that game over and over again. Personally, I couldn't even get through the first one. It bored the shit out of me.
I don't know. I guess I'm just not as excited about this generation yet. And I want to be. I really want to be.
The thing that got me excited about buying a console was No Man's Sky.
Nah, yes. No Man's Sky. I was going to bring this up towards the end. Sarah, have you seen any of this?
Yes. Yeah. I've seen quite a bit on No Man's Sky.
I'm super excited for that.
Looks like
the best thing ever.
Oh, Sarah, controversial.
Okay, so from the... Oh, what's the word I'm thinking of? The potential is incredible.
Yes.
Like, I just don't know how they're going to pull it off. I genuinely, like, there's, what, 5 people working on it?
Yeah, so it's Hello Games who the only...
They do the Joe Danger series.
Yeah, that's the only series I know them from.
It's such a radical departure from what they've done before, and it's such a small team. I desperately want them to be able to do it, because I honestly think that, No Man's Sky looks absolutely phenomenal, but I will hold off from getting too excited until we see actual gameplay demos and until it kind of gets a bit closer, because I've been burnt too many times recently from games that look incredible, and what we actually end up with kind of maybe isn't quite as good as we were led to believe.
Cough, Watch Dogs, cough.
I was thinking Dark Souls 2. But yeah, Watch Dogs is the other big one.
So you're not a fan of Dark Souls 2?
It's more just from, like, graphically. I remember watching the very early... Even the demo I played at Eurogamer before the September before it came out in March... Like, it played so much more with, like, the lighting. I remember there was a corridor that you had to go down with, like, the torch, or else you couldn't see anything. And from what I've seen, like, they've stripped out a lot, and they've really toned down a lot of, like, the art design and some of the areas and graphically. I mean, gameplay-wise, I can't comment because I haven't played it. But, yeah, speaking from, like, a purely graphical angle, they took a lot out of Dark Souls 2 that they had originally shown.
But that's because, sure, I mean, obviously you've seen it played a lot, being in a relationship with Mr. Dark Souls himself. So that's interesting. I've not really heard anyone mention that before.
Oh, look up...
What about Dark Souls?
Sorry?
About Dark Souls graphical stuff?
I haven't come across any.
Look up, like, Dark Souls 2 graphics comparison on YouTube. Look up, like... early E3 footage and then launch footage, and the difference is absolutely shocking. It is still a stunning game, Dark Souls 2, but compared to how it looked, it isn't quite as good. So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. No Man's Sky, it looks amazing, but I will wait to get too excited about it.
It's one of those games where you just hope that you're wrong.
Yeah. Completely. Completely.
All my hope into it.
Yeah, I so hope that they do it, but I will wait and see.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if they did.
I'm not interested in No Man's Sky at all.
What?
I refuse to allow myself to be, because I won't be playing it.
Why?
Because it's on PS4.
You'll get a PS4.
It's
not exclusive.
It's
That was going to be my question, because I was looking it up just before we're talking about it there to see when we're talking about things that were exclusive. So I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and it says it's got really diplomatic wording because it says it's debuting on the PS4.
Oh, it might be a timed thing.
Well, see, I'm also on Wikipedia. I am on list of PlayStation 4 games, and it has whether the games are exclusive, and it has console exclusive, Sony exclusive, or timed exclusive. And No Man's Sky isn't listed as any of those. Exclusive, it strictly just says no.
Nope.
They have said, basically what they've said, it's debuting on the PS4. They've got the option of bringing it to other platforms.
Okay.
But there's not been any word of it coming to other platforms, which doesn't sound terribly hopeful.
I would imagine. They're probably just going to wait and see how well it does on PS4. If there's only 5 of them, and then hire somebody to port it.
I've
done it before with games that I've hoped would come to, come to the 360 and didn't. So I'm not doing it anymore. I refuse. From a completely objective point of view, it looks really good, and I hope it does well, and it's got some really interesting features. From personal point of view, I'm not going to invest any hope in it, because then they'll say, I'm sorry, we're not bringing it to Xbox One, and I'll just cry and cry and cry.
I just want to discover a land of dinosaurs.
I don't know. I know what you mean, though. I think I've got the same kind of feeling about it. As remember when you watched the E3 thing for Spore the first time? And like, you got to that bit where you zoomed the camera out and everyone went, that just audible, like, holy shit moment thing. I got the exact same thing from watching No Man's Sky. And if it's as disappointing as that was by the time it comes out, then I think it might kill someone.
Spore was fucking horrible.
But you could make penis monsters.
You could make what? Penis monsters?
Penis monsters in Spore until EA decided to be a fun sponge and stopped you doing it.
I didn't realise you could make a penis monster.
Of course you could. They had a creature editor. It's got a creature editor. You can
obviously, that just that's not how I roll. I play games seriously these days. I don't go around making massive cocks and things.
See.
No.
Of you. But okay.
Not you.
No.
I don't have procedurally generated cocks.
Yeah, surely if it's procedurally generated, at some point someone's going to come across a land of like massive dinosaurs with, like, shaped like penises.
Like, I literally would buy a PS4 for this game. If it turns out to be shit, I'm going to be really disappointed. And also not buy a PS4. So.
Yeah, Sony, sort it out. there's a console sale on the line here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. So, the last thing that I want to bring up is simulators.
I knew you were going to talk about this.
As in the genres. The genre simulator. Now, in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a new show on our YouTube channel, Simulator Saturdays or Simulator Sundays. I'm not sure what day, but basically, we're going to be playing around with some of the terrible simulator games. Currently in the line, we've got Tunnel Digger Simulator, Woodcutter Simulator. Tow Truck Simulator 2015, I might add, because we're that far ahead now, and Crane Simulator. There's some good stuff on there. But there's been some new simulators announced, which I just wondered what your thoughts on them was. We have Cow Simulator 2014, which is going to be released soon. You can probably guess what you have to do in that game.
Was it Cow Simulator?
Cow Simulator, yes. And Rock Simulator.
There it is.
Where you play as a fucking rock.
Yeah.
The joke got old with Goat Simulator. Goat Simulator was kind of funny to watch the videos of when you were really hungover on a Sunday morning, because we totally didn't do that for 2 hours the other week. But, I'm kind of like, okay, that's a thing now. The box art for it, because it's in shops, is kind of funny, but yeah, can we just stop making stupid simulators?
I called that was going to happen when that game got big. We were going to get every fucking farm animal simulator under the sun.
Well, I mean, I'm on the Polygon article for Rock Simulator, and initially began as a parody of a parody. No, 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 you do not do a parody of a parody. That's just you being the fucking arsehole.
Oh. I like Toad Simulator.
No.
I love it. I love it to bits. It's the best. It's great. It's like it's stupid and broken, but at least it's still fun to play and to watch, I think, anyway.
But it's like forced fun.
Nobody's forcing you to have fun, Alan.
No. I've said this before. Like, if you're playing a game and something zany happens in that game that's not supposed to happen, that's like, you know, someone bugs out. Like, I was playing, I think it was actually L.A. Noire, and one of the guys bugged and fell through the ceiling. And when I went downstairs, just his little legs were dangling from the ceiling, but he was still looking like he was walking. That wasn't supposed to happen. And because it wasn't supposed to happen, it was funny. Games like Goat Simulator, where they're sort of, like, the glitches and the bugs are intentional, It just feels like forced. Like, oh, this is so funny because his head's wobbling like it always does every time. It's just proper YouTube bait. That's all these are.
I think you're just dead inside. To be honest.
Look, yeah, I mean, it's hardly like a grand work of art or a bitingly accurate piece of satire. Of it's stupid fun. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we put some of the YouTube videos on when it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were all stinkingly hungover, and that was quite funny to watch.
I don't know, like, I know it's not for everyone. Like, I think it's really fun. Some people absolutely hate it. I tried to introduce my girlfriend to playing it, and she got really frustrated from it after about 5 minutes because we're trying to do that bit where you ride the bike, and that looks hilarious when you're watching someone doing it, but it's really, 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 really fucking hard.
Yeah, like the first time I saw Goat Simulator, I giggled. I thought that's quite funny. But I think it straight away it just got hammered, man. It just, like, everywhere you looked, fucking Goat Simulator. It's like, oh, it's just. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, you got to point out though, like, since that game came out, because that game's, I mean, we were talking about stuff we bought in the Steam sale earlier, and I bought, what was it, like 7 different things of DLC in order to get up to date on Civ 5.
Yeah,
and that game came out, like, Goat Simulator came out, and how much was it released? It was like 10 or 15 quid or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, which is like, it's not charging full price for it.
Seven quid,
exactly. So, like, a reasonable price for what is essentially a stupid game. They weren't asking a huge amount for it. And the amount of content that's been updated in that game since it came out is, like, unreal. Uh-huh. Like, it's got, like, double the game map size, a bunch of other gameplay features, and, like, multiplayer and everything put into it as well, since it came out with no charge. It's like better supported and better value for 7 quid than a whole host of other games, I think. Anyway,
yeah, I guess. No, I can definitely see the argument there. I just like the whole simulator thing, though. It's just, I mean, what would you like to see a simulator? If you could have any simulator game, what would you have?
Bank teller simulator.
What, people coming up to you just asking to withdraw money?
Explain to them, for whatever technical and or bureaucratic reason, why they can't withdraw any of the money today.
Oh man, you could do a tie-in with Papers, Please and have Mortgage Approver Simulator.
Loan application simulator.
Yeah, exactly. So I need a loan. What for?
No, not being the person that fills it. No, actually just a simulation of you filling out an application for a loan.
That's even worse. That's terrible. What about you, Sarah?
Well, if you want to do it properly, you have to do, like, really weird, mundane, physical labour tasks, usually when you drive some sort of heavy machinery. And I originally thought Wrecking Ball Simulator, but I am willing to bet money on that's actually a thing. 90% sure.
Fun.
90% sure that Wrecking Ball Simulator actually works, but, like, Demolition Simulator would be pretty fun. You know, when you have to go in and put all the explosives in, like, tower blocks. And you get to blow them up, and then they all fall down, like, in that exact, like, perfect way. That's really fun. That would be cool.
That would be quite cool, actually. I'd probably play that. I would probably play that.
With the, like, really, like, hardcore simulators, I know my boyfriend got really into Train Driver Simulator because he, no, this is even worse. He got really, really into it because he could drive the Glasgow to Edinburgh line.
was he asking you for your ticket as you walked into the room or something? Just sat there.
This is a couple of years ago, so I've never actually seen him play it. But yeah, he really enjoyed just doing the Edinburgh to Glasgow line.
I'm doing my commute on my day off, but it's fine because I'm driving.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
It's just 46 miles in a straight line on a motorway.
Yeah, it's really shit. I mean, I've obviously done like the Edinburgh to Glasgow trip on a train like a few times, and there's genuinely no reason to want to do it.
Let's face it, whenever anyone plays any simulator game like that, the first thing you try and do is break it. It's like, can I get this train to derail? How fast do I need to go to, like, barrel into the train station and have it explode in front of me?
The only one I ever played, I think, was, like, Farming Something Simulator, Farming Equipment Simulator, that Ben made me play. And I tried to actually do it, and it turns out that it was an accurate simulation of farming because it was really fucking hard and tedious.
And then he became bankrupt.
So, yeah, and then nothing worked, and all my cattle starved.
I mean, I've got some simulator. I mean, I'm looking at my Steam account now. I've got Agricultural Simulator 2013, Agricultural Simulator Historical Farming. God. Because apparently you need two different versions of the same game.
So it's like a simulation of farming in like 200 years ago when it was even fucking harder.
I think so. Yeah, when you don't actually have tractors, just have like horses with things on the back.
You basically have to dig for 12 hours a day, and then die of dysentery.
What happens is you get like a really good farm, and then the government comes and burns all your cows.
While you're farming, the lord of the manor has his way with your woman, exercising his droit de seigneur, and then you're shot during a civil uprising.
Jesus. I do actually have Woodcutter Simulator.
Fuck's sake, man. That's just no.
Trains Simulator with the Z, because obviously if it's got a Z, it's
cooler.
It's cooler.
It's like his train simulator was taken, or?
I probably.
Is that like a rip-off of Train Simulator?
I've never played it. It's on Steam. Of course I've never played it. It's just in my fucking Steam because I brought it at some point.
I've looked at mine, and the only one I've got is a special edition of Viscera Cleanup Detail that came with Shadow Warrior.
What did you say, sir?
See, I'm just on, because like the big publisher of all of those games is Excalibur Publishing. And so I've just gone onto their website to try and find some funny ones, and they do Surgery Simulator.
Surgery?
Surgery, yeah. So basically it's like a boring shit version of... Surgery Simulator. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Surgeon Simulator, but for people who don't like fun.
But yay!
Could we make a simulator about like what it's like to work at that company making shite shovelware simulator games?
You can buy the bus driving double pack
that comes with
Bus Simulator 2 and Bus Driver.
Oh. Bus driver
two different
simulator.
Things.
Do you not think that simulator publisher employee simulator would just be about 20 minutes of tapping keys and then your character would leap out of a window?
Yeah.
Sheer despair.
I mean, the challenge would be ensuring that you didn't hit anyone when you hit the ground.
Oh, Demolition Simulator already exists.
Of course
it does.
Let's buy that now.
Yeah,
let's buy that. It's on Steam.
You'll take control of several vehicles from the humble bulldozer to the epic destructive power of the wrecking ball.
Oh, God.
And that comes in a double pack with Underground Mining Simulator.
Underground
Mining. Oh, fuck's sake.
That sounds amazing.
That's how many subscribers you get if you'll just play that along to Wrecking Ball.
This is even better. Airport Ground Crew Simulation. So you don't even fly the planes.
You could just start that up, go on strike, and then you've won the game.
I wonder if there's a button to just throw people's luggage and like kick it across the kick it across the pavement.
Wow.
My brother-in-law was playing a, I think it was a free-to-play a flight simulator.
Okay.
But you could choose whether you wanted to fly a plane or be some twat in a air control tower. What do they call them?
An air traffic controller.
Thank you. There we go. Yeah, so you could either, it was either Top Gun or... Top Gun? Fuck me, sideways. It was either Top Gun or Pushing Tin. Those were your two options. So he was flying, and he actually... You would hear people come over the headset going, F-195, I'm afraid you do not have clearance for this air zone. And he's on the headset going, I don't give a shit, it's a game. And these guys were really dead serious about it, really, really anti, until the point that he got bored with it and flew his plane into the air traffic controller's tower. And then just gave up on the entire thing.
Yeah, some of the flight simulated people do take it pretty serious.
He said it was quite intense. He said he wouldn't have minded because he had just jumped in, didn't know what he was doing with it, really. He knew how to he'd done some sort of solo stuff to get the hang of the flying, and then that was it, leapt into the multiplayer. Had no idea why there were suddenly voices telling him where he could and could not fly. I think he thought he was having an episode. and they got really, really anti with him.
That could be another simulation game where you have to stop the guy that you're playing as from topping himself.
Oh God!
I think I found the best one.
Oh, go on.
Chemical spillage simulation.
What?
Where
are you finding these?
On Garden Simulator. There's a watering can and a lawn gnome on the front of the box.
Oh fuck! I need. All right. Oh man, these are going to be great.
See.
There's the Workman double pack, which comes with Road Construction Simulator and Utility Vehicle Simulator.
You could be making us play these, Alan.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm just looking up Chemical Spillage Simulator.
Simulation,
oh man.
And the oddly specific Airport Firefighter Simulator.
These are amazing. Okay, I'm going to read you the blurb for Chemical Spillage Simulator. Hold on to your fucking hats. Double check your hazard suit because you're part of the Special Chemical Disaster Prevention Unit handling some of the most dangerous materials in the world that are both toxic and very deadly. Pretty sure that's the same thing. You'll need to seek out these materials using a selection of different tools to combat the spills before they cause any harm to civilians. Wow, man, that's amazing.
I thought there was going to be a crescendo at the end of that, but no, apparently we've...
Just
left us hanging.
I want...
Become a special... These are the features. Become a special member of the Special Chemical Disaster Prevention Unit. A great variety of missions that include dealing with objects contaminated with radiation, highly toxic substances, and even fire. Use special vehicle and a tool to battle these dangerous scenarios. Control a special robot who ventures into areas not safe humans.
Not safe humans. Nice.
Wow. That is being purchased.
When I was a kid, I owned a BB gun, and the instructions for it were, do not point at man and the animal. Now I know what happened to that company after they stopped making weapons for children.
That's all we've got time for this week. I think Ben's coming back from his travels next week, so he might be around if we let him.
Ben Simulator. That's what we'll have next week.
Just lying around, complaining about not having enough time, except he has all the time in the world.
Also, is this the first time we've actually had a Scottish person on the podcast?
Yeah.
It's not the first time I've been on, but yeah, it's the first time your all-Scottish podcast has had any fucking Scottish people.
To be fair... I think it's just it's just his character.
Yeah, totally. I'm actually just Alan doing an impression. This is just one of his many and varied voices that he can do.
It's just me. So all it leaves us now is just to say thank you very much for listening. You can check out the website www.stinktwiddlers.com. And you can see all our great content there. We have weekly articles and stuff and junk. Also, YouTube, www.youtube.com/sticktwiddlerstv. We have weekly shows there, such as Al versus SNES, where it's supposed to be me trying to play or trying to finish a SNES game, but invariably it's ending up like, what piece of furniture will I smash to bits this week? Last week it was a dining room chair. And the week before that, it was a child's play tent thing. Wonder what it'll be next episode. Perhaps the coffee table. Who knows? So you can check us out there. Obviously, there's going to be more videos, video series going up there, such as the Stick Twiddlers Do Simulators, which will be going up there.
Oh, must it?
Oh, yeah. And we've got some cool stuff coming next week. We have the return of Stickmare.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
I'm not going to be here.
And I'm not GMing this time. This is all Ben's baby. So I'm going to be one of you guys, Sarah and Jamie. You've got me and your team.
Yeah, we're going to break Ben's mind.
Yes. So we've got that coming. And also, we've got Stickmare the video game just entering pre-production, which is quite exciting. We'll have more information that's when it's forthcoming, i.e. when we've actually done more work on it.
Of course, when it'll actually be a Stickmare the video game simulator.
Yes, the Stickmare simulator.
As a person who's playing the Stickmare video game, you can't see it, but it will describe it very accurately.
Wait, is Alan desperately trying to finish Stickmare Simulator?
Yeah.
So we've got that coming soon. We've got loads of cool stuff. But yeah, if you like what you hear, please get in touch with us. Let us know. podcast@sticktwiddlers.com is the email address. Follow us on Twitter @sticktwiddlers. And leave us a like, rate, or whatever you do on iTunes these days, you crazy techno-savvy kids. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Goodbye from Jamie.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Sarah.
Bye.
Goodbye from Ian. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
that was me doing you.
Hey, you're getting very good at throwing your voice.
It's pretty good. It's like drinking water and doing the alphabet at the same time. but thank you very much, and goodbye. Bye.
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 Bye.